I'm Ron Sutton. I'm the artist on the weekly online Carson of Venus, Edgar Rice Burroughs comic strip, and you're listening to True North Country Comics Podcast.
Welcome to the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book and graphic novel creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Ron Sutton about Carson of Venus and more in preparation for Toronto Comic Con 2024. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that video channel. Toronto Comic Con is a spectacular three-day sci-fi, horror, anime, gaming, and comic book event in Canada that attracts thousands of people to come to the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Ron is an illustrator and comic book artist based in Ottawa. He's drawn several hundred comic books over the past four decades. This includes a nine-year stint illustrating nearly 50 issues of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark for Claypool Comics from 1998 to 2006. Among his many accolades, Ron has been honored with the Aurora Award nominations for Best Artist and Joe Shuster nomination for Best Webcomic Digital Comic. In 2022, Ron was inducted into the Joe Shuster Awards Hall of Fame. Ron's recent work includes the Frankenstein Visions art book, regular comic book creator magazine portraits, and more. Ron is currently drawing the webcomic adaptation of Edgar Rice Burroughs' Carson of Venus. Carson of Venus is a story of Carson Napier, adventure on Earth's neighbor world, who discovers that he's been tricked into delivering his own death sentence. Now he's trapped by the machinations of a cruel enemy and by his own honor. So without further ado, here's my chat with Ron Sutton about Carson of Venus and more in preparation for Toronto Comic Con 2024. So Ron Sutton, thank you very much for taking time to chat with me.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Before we get started with all the questions, I would like to know, what are you reading today? What's on your bedside reading table?
Well, that hasn't really changed a lot over the last number of years. I mean, I'm still reading classic comic strips, so I'm still reading Prince Valiant by Hal Foster, and I'm still reading Flash Gordon by Alex Raymond. I'm reading Tarzan newspaper strips that were done by Russ Manning in the 1970s. And I can't read a word of it, but I have just gotten a copy of one of the Prince Valiant books, reprint books from Spain, because they're the only people that are reprinting any of the current Thomas Yates series. So I'm just looking at the pictures on that one.
You can't find it anywhere in North America?
They haven't been reprinted in English anywhere. They've been reprinted in Spain and they've been reprinted in Germany. And I wasn't quite sure what the books would look like exactly, whether they had been edited at all, or sometimes with these comic strip reprints, they'll rejig the panels and things or cut up strips to make them into actual comic pages. So I just ordered one single copy of one of the Spanish Prince Valiant books, and it's wonderful. So I'm going to be ordering the whole set, I guess, probably, although I have a lot of loose pages already.
That's great. Well, we're here talking today because you're going to be tabling at Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you, what is it you like most about going to conventions?
You know, there's a few things. I mean, probably the best part of conventions for me is actually getting to spend some time with people that I know. And maybe that's the same for everybody. I don't know. For me, I mean, what I'm looking forward to Toronto is I'm coming down to Toronto with my partner, Janet Hetherington, of course, and with my close friend, Jeff Isherwood. So we're coming all down together. And I mean, what I'm really looking forward to is seeing a couple friends in particular, David Ross, who I've known since the 1970s, and Leonard Kirk, who I've known for, I don't know, almost 30 years at this point. You know, so that's the best part for me. It's nice talking to people. It's nice to sell a little bit of artwork, but I have a very select audience because I don't do drawings of Wolverine and Batman. You know, I'm doing my adventure strip stuff. So yeah, so that's the best part for me, really.
Cool. Do you have any past convention or festival experiences that stand out? Is there one particular opportunity where you met someone you admired or ran into someone you know?
Well, a lot. I mean, I guess the first one that really stands out for me, and we have to go back a long, long, long time, and I may have told you about this before, but 1970, I went to my first American convention ever, big convention, and that was the Detroit Triple Fan Fair, and I had gone there specifically to meet Bernie Wrightson and befriend him, and we had a lifelong friendship. You know, including a number of months that I actually slept on his living room couch in 1972. I made a lot of friendships. I mean, I made friends with Jeff Jones the following year, and Jeff and I again were, you know, friends until he died. And I met Michael Kaluta in 71 as well. And I even saw Michael just a few months ago in New York. So
nice. You know. With Toronto Comic Con, I have to ask you, what will you be showcasing at the show? What will be on your table?
Well, mostly I'm going to be bringing Carson of Venus, which is, of course, the weekly online Edgar Rice Burroughs comic strip I've been drawing for 3 years now. Actually, a little more than 3 years. I'm currently working on my 155th strip.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It really is a lot. I mean, I've done over a total of over 300 Burroughs pages at this point because The Maneater, we adapted the novel. Mm-hmm. It took us 3 years. And 150 strips. So I'll bring a little bit of that. I'll be bringing the Carson artwork. I'm planning on drastically reducing the price of the originals, partly because much like when I was drawing Elvira, Mistress of the Dark for 9 years, I priced them quite low just because I wanted people to have them. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Carson, I'm doing very few conventions, so they're piling up. So I'm not one of those people that's trying to hoard all my own original art. I would rather have somebody else own it and people putting it on their wall. Nothing mm-hmm. makes me happier than seeing people posting in various places photos of my artwork in frames on their walls of their homes. So it'll be mostly the Carson stuff I'll be bringing with me. And, of course, a small variety of things that I've had published over the last number of years and prints and, you know, the usual stuff. So
sure. Well, I mean, that's quite unique in this day and age because everything's gone digital. It's very rare to actually find, you know, true panels that have been drawn out in the wild. So that's quite unique.
Yeah, it's getting more old school the longer I work on this thing, because I mean, I'm doing it in pen and ink, well, actually with markers, because I'm not using bottles of ink anymore. So I'm penciling, I'm inking it, I'm hand lettering it, and I'm adding old school Zip-A-Tone, which is that dot patterns on sticky film that you attach, which used to be really popular in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And now what I'm doing as well is I'm also using pebble board, which is basically a board with a texture on it. So you take a grease pencil or a black colored pencil and rub it on the surface and you can create another texture. So, of course, all this stuff is all adding to more work, you know, which takes time. The problem I'm running into at the moment, though, is the Zip-A-Tone, the sticky plastic film, and the pebble board aren't really all that compatible because the pebble board has less surface for the Zip-A-Tone to adhere to. And modern Zip-A-Tone is really low tack to begin with. So I am having some problems with having to re-glue down stuff afterwards. But anyway.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It takes me 3-4 days to do each single page of Carson, you know, but it's really a labor of love, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned Carson of Venus there. I presume that's your major project that you have on the go. Is there any side projects you have going on?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff at the moment, which is maybe a little unusual. I'm working on a pen in between Carson, because Carson gets the priority, of course. I'm actually working on a 16-page romance story right now, which is called Without Love. And I've been working on it for a while, because, like I say, it's sort of I'm trying to get a little bit done in between the Carson pages. It's going into an anthology, which is called Another Time, Another Place. And what's sort of interesting, there's a lot of things that are interesting about it. One is it's written by Barbara Freelander. I don't know if you know that name, but she was recently added to the Eisner Awards Hall of Fame. She wrote in the 1960s, she wrote and also edited a number of the DC romance comics, you know, Young Love and all those kind of books. So she wrote this, and it's kind of a really fun and challenging story to draw because it takes place in the 1920s, and it's basically about a flapper who's a gold digger, who's sort of the third wheel in a romance, and there's a big scandal, and she leaves, and she actually ends up getting involved with the chauffeur, and it's lots of fun stuff. I really like drawing romance comics because I've drawn a number of them over the years. And I'm getting to do all this 1920s stuff because, like I say, she's a flapper. So I'm, you know, researching the costumes and the, you know, the buildings and everything else and the automobiles. And I also trying to add into the pages a little bit of Art Deco design. So,
Well, when do you think that might be available for people to view and read?
I wouldn't imagine probably at the earliest, probably late this year, because I've still got a few more pages to draw in it. And like I say, it's an anthology book. So there's a number of other people drawing the stuff. And it's possible that I'm going to be the last guy to get my work in because I'm, again, spending an enormous amount of time on each page and it's getting done in between the Carsons. So that's kind of the other big one at the moment. I've got other, you know, and I've always got my other things that I'm doing, like the comic book artist magazine from Tomorrow's. I'm continuing to do my portraits for them. Done 33 portraits so far. So, I mean, the last couple of ones I did was a portrait of Denny O'Neill and a portrait of Steve Gerber. And the next one coming up is a portrait of Tom Palmer, the famous Marvel inker. And there's that, and I'm still doing a little bit of commissions as well. There's somebody I've been doing commissions of a crossover between Elvira and Hilarious House of Frightenstein, the much beloved Canadian horror comedy TV series. Mm-hmm. So I've done about four or five of those so far, and I've started doing some paintings, which are of Carson of Venus, because I've wanted to do some painting. And the other thing I've got coming up, which I can't really talk about, but I'm sort of doing something with Michael Kaluta. But that's not going to even get started for another couple months yet. I'm just sort of figuring things out at the moment.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you're pretty busy. You've mentioned a variety of different tools in our conversation just now, but I'm wondering, is there one go-to tool that you've been using to create art these days?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm drawing everything old school. So, I mean, I'm drawing everything in pencil. So I'm starting out with Call Erase light blue pencils, which talk about more roadblocks. The company that makes Call Erase pencils, which were basically used in animation, you used to be able to go to the art store and you could get any color you wanted, as many of that individual pencil as you wanted. But they've discontinued doing that. They're only selling them in boxes of rainbow colors. You only want light blue. You'd have to buy one box and take the light blue out, buy another box and take another light blue out, which, you know, is ridiculously expensive. So I'm having to sort of switch over to a green Call Erase pencil. And like I mentioned, they used to be used a lot in animation. Of course, people aren't drawing animation on paper anymore either. But they're very waxy and they just glide across the paper really nicely. So I do that. Then I pencil in regular pencils. Then I go in and my markers, because I'm not using pen and ink anymore, I'm using Faber-Castell Pitt pens for the most part, and a bunch of other things that different people have recommended. The lettering I'm doing with a Pilot fineliner. Then I'm using my old school Zip-A-Tone. And like I say, the whole thing is all getting transferred onto pebble board now. So, which again, the pebble board, I'm even having problems getting. My good friend Jeff Isherwood came back from an art store in Buffalo with a wad of pages for me. So I'm very grateful to him for that.
So you think this movement to digital everywhere, even in animation, is having an impact, I guess, on the traditional supplies? I guess you're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very old school and I'm very stubborn. And I mean, I guess what I think, well, you know, I'm very old school and I'm very stubborn. And I just want to do it the way my heroes, like guys like Al Williamson and, you know, Alex Raymond and people like that worked, you know, and I can finally sort of figure out how they drew specific things, but sometimes I can't get the materials that they use to recreate the effects that they were doing. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, if you're 20 years old or 30 years old, you know, you would never even consider using the materials I'm using. You know, you'd do everything digitally because it would just come far more natural to you, you know?
Right.
But it doesn't come natural to me at all.
Well, to each their own, I guess, right? Whatever works for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've proven you're a professional in the comic book field. So with all your years of experience, I'm wondering if someone were to come up to your table at the convention and said they're making their first comic book, what is the one piece of advice that you would give to that person?
Well, I think people that are doing comics now should try pursuing self-publishing, and there's a whole lot of different venues. I mean, at one time, I think when I was growing up, all the artists, the young artists I met, all wanted to work for Marvel Comics and DC Comics and, you know, even Charlton and what have you. So everybody was sort of geared to doing superheroes. And I mean, those are the comics that, you know, controlled the entire market. And it's not like that now. You know, I mean, the sales on those kind of comics have just been plummeting and plummeting and plummeting. And there's now a variety of different ways that people get their comics distributed. So, I mean, they can do Kickstarters, or they can, you know, publish online. So I think at this point, you know, somebody that's starting out with a comic strip should really figure out what they want to do. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, when I was younger and the guys I was hanging out with, we weren't trying to create our own stuff. Everybody had their eye on, you know, the big three comic book publishers, and we're trying to adapt their work to be suitable to Marvel or DC or whoever. And now I think what people should do is just think about what they like and what they enjoy drawing, what they enjoy reading, and just do that, you know, go off on their own tangent and just have lots of fun with it.
Sure. Makes sense. Now, with all your projects that you have on the go, and there's a lot, I'm wondering, where do you recommend that people go online to find out about what you're up to now and in the future?
Well, the two main things is, I mean, I've got a website, which is www.ronsutton.com, and that's Ron with two N's, of course, R-O-N-N. And if you go on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, and I publish something on Facebook almost every day. I try to. And what I do is I will publish, when I'm working on a Carson page, I will publish the rough on one day, and then the following day I will publish the pencil artwork, and then the following day I'll publish the finished black and white artwork, although I blur out the dialogue because there's people paying to read the strips eventually on the Edgar Rice Burroughs website. And of course, I don't have the color one, the color version. So the color versions are also on the Edgar Rice Burroughs website, which is where they're published theoretically every single week, every Saturday. There's supposed to be a new one. Not always, but almost.
Right. Well, Ron, those are all the questions I have for you. But I'm wondering, is there something I didn't ask that you want to get across in this interview?
One other thing that I'm not working on right now, but will probably be available at the convention, is Martin Slam Duncan has published, in the process right now of publishing, his Frankenstein Visions book, which is 35 different artists all drawing scenes from the novel Frankenstein. So it's a 72-page book, and I mean, it includes artwork by myself and Jeff Isherwood and Dave Ross and Marco Rudy and a number of other artists. So that book, I think, is supposed to be out at the show. And if he's going to have panels about that, or sketch panels, whatever, I'll probably be involved in those too, right at the show.
Thanks to Ron for the chat. You can discover more about Ron at ronsutton.com, that's RONNSUTTON.com, and on Facebook at facebook.com/ron.sutton. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts. And remember to check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. True North Country Comics is now on YouTube. Please like and subscribe to that video channel and hit the notification button. Remember, you can follow along at True North Country Comics on most social media sites. Please send any and all feedback to John at TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2024.